This is the Darlington and District Talking Newspaper on Wednesday, the 12th of August, 2026. Introducing the team this week. Hello, I'm Pat Walker. The What's On has been collected by Kate Grogan and the news editor is Kate Grogan. The magazine editor is Kieran Grogan and the readers are Stan Rennick and Pat Walker. Firstly, some announcements. We would like to welcome a new listener, Sheila Bowron of Darlington. We do hope you will enjoy the recordings. And a message from Alan Elwood. Anyone with visual impairment is welcome to attend the Darlington Social Club for the Blind on a Tuesday morning between 10 and 12 at 73 Corporation Road, Darlington. The club runs social events, activities and outings for blind and visually impaired people of all ages who live in Darlington and the district. If you have any questions, you can ring Alan on 07816 127002 or Jonathan on 07813 703719. Next, we have the What's On, and this has been collected by Kate Grogan. August the 18th to the 22nd, 7:30 p.m. matinees, Thursday 20th and Saturday 22nd. Touch tour on Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Darlington Hippodrome. The Last Laugh. Three legendary comedians, one very unusual dressing room, dying is easy, comedy is hard. The Last Laugh is a brilliant, The Telegraph, smash hit, West End play which imagines three of Britain's all-time greatest comedy heroes, Tommy Cooper, Eric Morecambe and Bob Monkhouse, in a dressing room discussing the secret life, death, comedy and what it means to be funny, really funny. Tickets from £20. Wednesday the 19th of August, 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. Sheraton Court Care Home, Warren Road, Hartlepool, Summer Fair. This year we are all about ABBA. All the fun of the fair, live singer from 2 p.m, fancy dress welcome. Friday 21st of August, 10:30 till 11:30 a.m, Raby Castle Stain Drop. Recipes, remedies and Raby, a taste of history. Step inside Raby's historic medieval kitchen with Raby Castle's archivist and explore the rich, surprising and sometimes delicious history of recipes at Raby. For this summer's Castle in Bloom celebrations, this special event will explore how plants have always shaped life at the castle, not only on the plate but also in healing and household medicine. Recipes show new ingredients, spices and healing plants which travelled to the estate, culinary and medicinal knowledge being shared and adapted, and how inspiration flowed through travel, trade and changing tastes across Britain and beyond. Closer to home, recipes show how produce from the gardens and home farm supplied both the kitchen and the still room, influencing menus as well as remedies for common ailments. Tickets £5 for Raby members, £15 for non-members. Sunday 23rd of August, 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. Herwarth Grange Community Centre. Darlington Community Sports and Fun Day. A day packed with fun, laughter and community spirit. Traditional sports day races for all ages. Bouncy castles and inflatable assault course. Gladiator arenas, giant games and activities. Face painting, food vans, bar and coffee van. Local stalls. £5 per child for unlimited access to inflatables all day. Donations welcome throughout the day to support local causes. Sunday 23rd of August, 7:30 p.m. The Waiting Room, 9 Station Road, Eaglescliffe, Stockton-on-Tees. Martin Stevenson and some dainties. More songs and crack from this much-loved old folk rocker. Tickets £20 from the website thewaitingroom.uk/. Now just a few reminders. To check your local chemist opening times, please call the NHS non-emergency helpline 111 and they will provide you with this information. The time to draw your curtains and switch house lights on is about 8:30 to 9 p.m. And can listeners who receive a CD or memory stick in a wallet through the post, please do remember to return your wallet in a normal post box. No stamps are needed. If it is returned over a post office counter, they often put lots of stickers on, which are very difficult to remove. Thank you. Next we have the news, and the news has been collected this week by Kate Grogan and comes to you by kind permission of North of England Newspapers. You're listening to the Darlington and District Talking Newspaper.
Hello. This is Stan Rennick, and here are the news headlines up until the 12th of August. County Durham and Darlington NHS Q&A. Darlington Round Table unveils plans for new Santa's sleigh. A grand farewell to Darlington's Man of the People. Man wins life-changing BOTB £1 million prize, including Porsche. Transrow and Darlington CPE questions for Durham NHS Trust boss. County Durham and Darlington NHS Foundation Trust has faced intense scrutiny following a series of controversies, including failures in its breast cancer service, concerns over staff speaking up, the handling of a tribunal involving transgender changing facilities, and ongoing problems at Darlington Memorial Hospital. Chief Executive Steve Russell has now answered questions on the Trust's efforts to rebuild confidence, improve patient safety, and address pressures across its hospitals. Here's the Q&A. Are you confident you now have processes and systems in place so that staff who raise concerns will be listened to? Not completely, but we are better than we were. We have made a clear commitment to quality as our organising principle and to strengthening the connection between the board and the shop floor. We have encouraged people to speak to us. If you ask colleagues across the trust, you would probably receive a variable response. One positive is that contacts to our Freedom to Speak Up guardian, Mel, have risen significantly. Many people also raise concerns directly with me, although it can take longer than I would like to deal with them all. There is pressure to make sure we act and close the loop. We are trying to be more present because you learn more by being with people than sitting in a boardroom. Once a month, we spend a morning, afternoon, or evening shadowing teams. We have done that 4 times and learned a great deal about good care and issues that need addressing. We hold a weekly open staff call where people can ask anything. Every couple of months, we also hold a 2-hour drop-in session. We have just completed 12 or 13 roadshows across our sites to listen to colleagues. Are we perfect? No. There is still a lot to do, and concerns remain in parts of the organisation about speaking up. Some people are hesitant. The new leadership team must create an environment where people feel safe speaking to anyone and receive a good response when they do. We are not there yet, but we are better than we were. What has happened with facilities following the trans nurse row, and what changes have been made? After the judgment was published, we updated our policies and arrangements, so that people use changing facilities reflecting their biological sex in compliance with the law and judgment. We have introduced additional single lockable facilities for staff who want to use them. Although the policy and practice are that people use single-sex areas according to biological sex, we need to improve changing facilities across the Trust. The facilities are not as good as they should be, but single-sex means biological sex. Do you have any regrets about the trans row and the fact it went to a tribunal, costing taxpayers hundreds of thousands of pounds? It slightly predates me. When I joined, the tribunal was about to take place. It is easy to comment with hindsight, particularly when you were not there. But as we have publicly acknowledged, I do not think we handled it as well as we should have. We did not listen closely enough to every perspective or try hard enough to resolve the issues. People raised legitimate points that could and should have been handled differently. The Trust policy before the Supreme Court judgment was the same as that of most NHS organisations because it reflected the legal interpretation at the time. Despite that, colleagues' concerns should have been heard more closely and alternative options considered. The Supreme Court later changed the legal position, by which point the Trust was many months into the process. I think colleagues became slightly entrenched in their views. Are people still experiencing problems using water, showering and washing at Darlington Memorial Hospital because of CPE? CPE is a problem across the NHS, but has been a particular issue at Darlington, partly because of the building's age. That is not an excuse, but it creates challenges. The drinking water is safe. CPE is not present in the incoming water supply. We also agree that people should be able to shower. At the outbreak's height, it affected many people over a long period. CPE is generally not a risk to healthy people, but can be dangerous for vulnerable hospital patients or those with compromised immunity. It is resistant to antibiotics and can be difficult to treat if it enters the bloodstream, with potentially serious outcomes. When a significant number of patients were carrying CPE, stringent measures were introduced and advice was given to restrict showers. That restriction appears to have become common practice because staff thought it was expected to protect patients. We were not successful enough in communicating that showers are now permitted. They must be risk assessed, but we should be offering patients showers. There is currently one CPE case on one ward, which is in its latter stages. 9 patients have been affected. There have been no new positive cases for several weeks, but we follow a stringent process to eliminate it. What is the solution to the CPE problem at Darlington Memorial Hospital? We bid nationally for capital funding because the hospital is old and requires considerable work, but the bid was unsuccessful. We have gone ahead and are replacing sinks. They will be removed from bays and placed in corridors following the advice we received. Some showers have been upgraded and all have undergone risk assessments to ensure water drains properly. We would like to upgrade every ward, but that requires significant investment. Upgrading all showers would cost about £2 million, and we do not have enough capital funding to complete it at once. It will therefore be done through a rolling programme. Any showers found to drain less effectively have already been upgraded. The sink replacement programme begins this month. Can people drink the water and shower at Darlington Memorial Hospital? Yes, the water is safe to drink. If patients are told they should not shower but want to, they should ask to speak to the matron. A very small number may have conditions that place them at higher risk, but an alternative should be then found, possibly on another ward. People can and should be able to shower. Can Bishop Auckland Hospital be reopened to full capacity? It is unlikely Bishop Auckland Hospital will reopen as a full emergency hospital. It originally had that role, but it changed for several reasons, and those reasons have not changed. Bishop Auckland still has an important role. It was accredited several months ago as an elective hub. We carry out many planned procedures there, including hip and knee operations and some general surgery. Because it does not compete with emergency admissions, using Bishop Auckland to reduce planned surgery waiting times is our strategy. We would probably need to do that anyway because the updated cost was estimated at between £60 and £80 million, which is unlikely to be affordable. What is happening with parking across the Trust, including at University Hospital of North Durham and Darlington Memorial Hospital? There have been teething problems. The changes are probably working better for patients than staff. Both sites now have more patient parking, but that has reduced access for staff. At Durham, the park and ride and spaces at County Hall help. People would prefer to park on site, but the alternatives are not far away. Darlington is more difficult because there are no off-site parking options. We are reviewing staff permits to make sure we do not issue too many, which contributes to congestion, and encouraging different ways of travelling to work. We are also exploring the feasibility of parking decks at both sites. They would be expensive, creating difficult choices between spending money on parking or facilities such as showers. Parking is better for patients, but not yet right for staff.
Hello, Pat Walker here. Darlington Roundtable unveils plans for new Santa's sleigh. A beloved Darlington Christmas tradition is getting a magical makeover this year, thanks to some local Vikings. Darlington Roundtable has announced that a new Santa's sleigh will take to the streets this Christmas, marking 50 years since the iconic vehicle first began bringing festive cheer to families across the town. The new sleigh will be designed and built from scratch by skilled craftspeople at the Viking Boat Company, a Darlington-based charity which uses traditional heritage skills to support armed forces veterans and people at risk of social isolation. When the charity was first set up, its headline project was to build a full-scale Viking longship, also known as a Skuldelev. With that now completed, thoughts have turned to its next big undertaking. Darlington Roundtable Chairman Alan Britton said, "Time and time again people say to us, when you see the Roundtable sleigh, that's the start of Christmas in Darlington. That's something we're really aware of. For 50 years, families have lined the streets of Darlow to welcome Santa. People who watched the sleigh go past as children are now bringing their own grandchildren out to see it. That's an incredible legacy. We're absolutely thrilled to be working with the Viking Boat Company to create a brand new sleigh for the people of Darlington. It's particularly special because by partnering with such a worthwhile local charity, the project will create a lasting legacy beyond Christmas itself." Bob Marshall, chief executive of the Viking Boat Company, said, "The Darlington sleigh is iconic, and we're absolutely delighted to have been asked to build the next chapter of its story. We've been looking at sleigh designs from across the world and developing ideas of our own to create something truly spectacular, something that will excite children and families for generations to come. The new sleigh's design is being kept firmly under wraps and will be unveiled for the first time at the Darlington Christmas Lights Switch-On in November. To help bring the new sleigh to life, Darlington Roundtable is appealing for local businesses and residents to get involved by sponsoring the project or donating suitable timber and materials. Anyone interested in supporting the build is asked to contact darlingtonroundtable@gmail.com.